and the confession of sin. Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at His hand, to set forth His most worthy praise, to hear His holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and salvation. O come, let us worship Him. Let us kneel and bow down before Him. Let us confess our sins with penitent hearts and obtain forgiveness by His infinite grace and mercy. Lift up your hearts. The Almighty and merciful Lord has granted us pardon and forgiveness of all of our sins, grace for true repentance and amendment of life, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise for the versicles.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Our scripture reading for this evening, our lesson, is taken from the 8th chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Romans. We hear verses 31 and 32. They will also serve as the basis for this evening's sermon. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Let us join our hearts in prayer. Lord God, our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have blessed us with the gift of faith to trust in you and in the work of your Son, our Savior. And yet we are perplexed and troubled on many sides these days. We pray that tonight, once again, through the proclamation of your word, that you would strengthen us in our love for you and give us confidence once again in your gracious promises. We pray it all in Christ's saving name. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, who have been purchased and bought back to God by the suffering, death, and resurrection of his only Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, God's grace, his kindness, his compassion are yours to be found alone in that Savior. Amen. You may not know this, but your college professors, those of you that are students, often say that the age of being in college, especially your first few years, is sometimes when you are the least in touch with what's going on in the news. I think there's some truth to that. I wasn't any different when I was in college either. Occasionally I'll ask things in class, if students know about certain current events that are going on, and it's often surprising how many really don't know, but your college lives are very full of a lot of things, and it's a lot to do, a lot going on. It's easy to just not pay attention to much that's in the news. But I've also had a few students say to me, maybe you've heard this, I would watch the news, but so much of it is just so depressing. And isn't that the truth? This fallen world that we live in and this present day and age that we're living in, there is just so much around us that bombards us with such negativity. Just some of the issues that we're dealing with right now here in our country in the last weeks. This whole issue of the Ebola virus, which actually has pushed the scare of Islamic terrorism off of the front pages. That's how big of a threat and a fear that has become to the American mindset. 8 of the top stories on CNN's website today, I just checked, deal with issues pertaining to the Ebola virus. That's the type of fear that they sense in the hearts of Americans. And of course, the whole war on terrorism, the extremism that is starting to possibly come to our shores, it will be here. We're pretty confident that's going to happen someday. The economic challenges. Just yesterday, the Dow Jones dropped 273 points. I've heard it rebounded today. But that's the type of volatility that can be in our economy, and especially when you're looking at your future and heading off from college into the workforce. What's going to be out there for us? On top of that, as Christians, we constantly are facing oppression of our Christian faith. It seems to increase and grow year after year. And those are just things that are kind of out there nationally. But what about you individually, too? There are things probably going on in your life, personal issues and struggles that you're wrestling with. Maybe some of the challenges of being away at college, challenges with friends or relationships. There are a lot of different things that can just agitate and irritate our hearts and make us very fearful of what our life is going to be like in the days ahead. When St. Paul wrote these words to the Romans, their lives had a lot of difficulties going on too. They had a lot of challenges. During the first century, there was a virus, a plague, actually, that was going around the Mediterranean Sea. They think it may have been the precursor to what ended up being the bubonic plague. Certain people in places, especially right across the shores in Africa, Libya, they were starting to have boils on their bodies. I'm sure it was something scary to think this could be transported to their city of Rome. War, there was a constant threat of war in their day because the Roman army itself was so advancing in the world. Quite often there were threats coming to them from the north. As far as the economy goes, many of the first century Christians faced difficulties and challenges in their business life because of their faith. Whether Jewish or those that were now part of this group known as the Christians, whom the Romans saw as a splinter group from the Jews, many of them were probably ostracized in their communities for their beliefs and faith. So even though their issues were maybe slightly different than ours, maybe not a whole lot different, and St. Paul speaks these few words that I just read earlier to them and to us tonight, the words of God from heaven to settle down our hearts and to settle down our fears. And he's intending to stir up the faith that God has placed inside of our hearts. And when you hear these words, there are very few passages in the Bible that are more triumphant, more kind of invigorating for our faith, and more majestic than these. If God is for us, who can be against us? Just stop and pause on that beautiful phrase. If God is for you, who can ever be against you? There is no force in the universe that is equal to the force of our Heavenly Father above. Remember the story of Jesus with his disciples in the boat, and he fell asleep and a storm came up in the Sea of Galilee, and how Christ was sleeping on the cushions. Just earlier in that same incident, he had said to his disciples, "Let us go to the other side," and he spoke very clearly and prophetically about the fact that they would make it to the other side. And now this storm came up and they're all terrified and frightened. Jesus finally rises up and calms the storm. And then he says, "Why did you doubt, O you of little faith?" And the disciples stand and look at him and turn to each other and say, "Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him?" Who are we in the presence of here? This is somebody that can just stop the weather, for goodness sakes. This is the God that we have. That's just a tiny glimpse of his power and authority over nature itself. The God whom St. Paul is addressing for you and me is the God who controls all things. There is nothing beneath him. Even the greatest forces of evil, though they should muster all of their power and authority and might and rage at us, he can flick them aside with his little finger. All creation, everything about creation, everything about the universe must be obedient to the one who created and made this universe. The one who Scripture tells us upholds all things by the power of his word. Just think of that, just his word. That's all it takes to uphold everything that goes on in the world and in the universe. So Paul says, this is who I'm talking about. God is for us. And I'm going to particularly say it to you. God is for you, on your side. A commentator named Martin Franzmann says, "With these three words in his heart, a person can put down all enemies and tread down all assailants." No matter what you're afraid of about your future, no matter what things perplex you and trouble you, listen to the words again. God is for us. There's not a single one of the things that makes you troubled that God cannot trump and handle very easily. And that same Lord that Paul is talking about has already shown his commitment to you personally and to your future. Listen, "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Okay, think about it. What greater gift could God have given to claim you and to make sure you get to enjoy heaven someday than his son? Talk to your parents. You're the apple of their eye. You maybe don't feel like it sometimes, but you are. There is nothing that they wouldn't do to help you and preserve your life. God, our Heavenly Father, was willing to give up his son to claim you again as his child through the waters of baptism and make you his own, so that you could someday enjoy the beautiful home that he has for you in heaven. If he has already taken care of your greatest problem, your greatest issue, and your greatest concern by giving up his son, don't you think we can trust him for all the other cares and issues of life that are facing us? If the good shepherd has already gone and laid down his life in order to preserve yours, and has now made sure to get ready a green pasture in heaven for you to someday go there and to enjoy that, don't you think you can trust him to lead you on the path that's going to take you there? Christ says to you as a member of his flock of sheep of believers, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's will to give you the kingdom." If God's prepared his kingdom to give to you, certainly he's going to take care of all the other issues that confront us in this life, even though they might trouble us, and even though we don't necessarily know now how God may lead us through all of those things. It's as if God is saying to us, I'm in control. I rule everything that there possibly could ever be. And so how could there ever be a chance that somebody or something could possibly change and alter the beautiful eternal plans that I have for you because of what I've done through my Son? So the bottom line of our text here tonight is this. God is saying, trust me. Just trust me. Can you think of a single individual whom God has ever let down when he's made a promise? Trust me, he says. Put your hope, put your confidence in me and in my word. And don't let yourself keep drifting back into a mood of fear and timidity. God has given you his promise, not only in his word, but he has taken the time to write it in blood. Amen.